Go back to 1938. You haven't born, eh? Not yet. Since then, no. So today, I said to the Lord Jesus, do you see how many difficulties there are to be overcome before they will believe that you yourself are the author of this work? And even now, not everyone believes in it. Respond. Be at peace, my child. Nothing can oppose my will. In spite of the murmuring and hostility of the sisters, my will shall be done in you in all its fullness, down to the last detail of my wishes and my designs. Do not become sad about this. I, too, was a stumbling stone for some souls. Not all everything acceptable for before people. But if it's the will of God, don't worry. God has His way. Jesus complained to me that to me of how painful to him is the unfaithfulness of chosen souls. He said, and my heart is even more wounded by their distrust after a fall. It would be less painful if they had not experienced the goodness of my heart. So, just little things, they collapse people. They forget about God. Although they have all the graces before, but once some difficulties, something wrong happened, and then they lost the trust. I saw the anger of God hanging heavy over Poland. And now I see that if God were to visit our country with the greatest chastisements, there would still be great mercy, because for such grave transgressions, He could punish us with eternal annihilation. I was paralyzed with fear when the Lord lifted the veil a little for me. Now, I see clearly that chosen souls keep the world in existence to fulfill the measure of justice. So today, God didn't destroy the world yet, because there are some souls doing their part to offer their sufferings. I saw a certain priest's efforts in prayer. His prayer is similar to that of the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Olives. Oh, if that priest, probably Father Sopoko, only knew how pleasing to God that prayer was. Oh Jesus, I'm locking myself in your most merciful heart as in a fortress, impregnable against the missiles of my enemies. Today, I find myself in the presence of a certain dying person who was approaching death in my home labor. I supported her with my prayers, and after a few moments, I felt for a short while pain in my hands, feet, and side. That she suffered for that person. January 27, 1938. During Holy Hour today, Jesus complained to me about the ingratitude of souls. Word of Jesus. In return for my blessings, I get ingratitude. In return for my love, I get forgetfulness and indifference. My heart cannot bear this. At that moment, love for Jesus was enkindled so strongly in my heart that offering myself for ungrateful souls, I immersed myself completely in him. When it came to my senses, the Lord allowed me to taste a little of the ingratitude which flooded his heart. This experience lasted for a short while. Sorry. Today I said to the Lord, "When will you take me to yourself? I have been feeling so ill, and I have been waiting for your coming with such longing." Jesus answered me, "Be always ready. I will not leave you in this exile for long. My holy will must be fulfilled in you. O Lord, if your holy will has not yet been entirely fulfilled in me, here I am, ready for everything that you want, O Lord. O my Jesus, there is only one thing which surprises me, namely that you make so many secrets known to me, but the one secret, the hour of my death, you do not want to tell me." And the Lord answered me, "Be at peace. I will let you know, but not just now." "Ah, my Lord, I beg your pardon for wanting to know this. You know very well why. Because, you know, my yearning heart, which is eagerly going out to you, you know that I would not want to die even a minute before the time which you have appointed for me before the ages." Jesus listened with wondrous kindness to the outpourings of my heart. January 28, 1938. "Today, the Lord said to me, 'My daughter, write down these words. All those souls who will glorify my mercy and spread its worship, encouraging others to trust in my mercy, will not experience terror at the hour of death. My mercy will shield them in that final battle.' My daughter, encourage souls to say the chaplet which I have given to you. It pleases me to grant everything they ask of me by saying the chaplet. When hardened sinners say it, I will fill the souls with peace. An hour of the death will be a happy one. Write this for the benefit of distressed souls. When a soul sees and realizes the gravity of his sins, when the whole abyss of the mystery into which it immersed itself is displaced before its eyes, let it not despair, but with trust, let it throw itself into the arms of my mercy, as a child into the arms of its beloved mother. These souls have a right of priority to my compassionate heart. They have first access to my mercy. Tell them that no soul that has called upon my mercy has been disappointed or brought to shame. I delight particularly in a soul which has placed its trust in my goodness. Write that when they say this chaplet in the presence of the dying, I will stand between my father and the dying person, not as a just judge, but as a merciful savior." At the moment, the Lord gave me to know how jealous he is of my heart. "Even among the sisters, you will feel lonely. Know then that I want you to unite yourself more closely to me. I'm concerned about every beat of your heart. Every stirring of your love is reflected in my heart. I thirst for your love. Jesus, O Lord, but my heart will not be able to live without you either. For even if the hearts of all creatures were offered to you, they would not satisfy the depths of my heart. Today, toward evening, the Lord said to me, entrust yourself completely to me at the hour of death, and I will present you to my Father as my bride. And now I recommend that you unite in a special way even your smallest deeds to my mercy, to my merits, and then my Father will look upon them with love as if they were my own. Do not change a particular examen which I have given you through Father Andres, namely that you unite yourself with me continually. That is what I am clearly asking of you today. Be a child toward my representatives, because I borrow the lips to speak to you so that you will have no doubt about anything. My health has improved somewhat. I went down to the refectory and the chapel today. I still cannot resume my duties, and so I stay in my cell at the Hen Loop. I enjoy this work very much, but still, even with such light work, I tire easily. I see how feeble I am. There are no indifferent moments in my life. Since every moment of my life is filled with prayer. Sorry. Suffering and work. If not in one way, then in another. I glorify God. And if God were to give me a second life, I do not know whether I would make better use of it. So all her life is work and prayer simultaneously. His work is a prayer. The Lord said to me, I am delighted with your love. Your sincere love is pleasing to my heart as the fragrance of a rosebud at the morning time, before the sun has taken the dew from it. The freshness of your heart captivates me. That is why I unite myself with you more closely than with any other creature. So Jesus is close to her. Not because Jesus is a particular lover, yes, but because she loved Jesus so much that attracted the love of Jesus. So many times we complain that Jesus doesn't love us much. We have to ask how much we love Jesus. We just jealous of other people. They're so close to Jesus. They make the effort. You can imagine Faustina. She makes so much effort, so much difficulties. But even all through all her heart, only for you, only for you, only for you. Today I saw the efforts of this priest, Father Sopoko, concerning the affairs of God. His heart is beginning to taste that which filled God's heart during his earthly life. In recompense for his effort in gratitude, but he is very zealous for the glory of God. So Father Sopoko is doing this work to promote divine mercy. What the conclusion is? In gratitude. January 20th, 1938, one-day retreat. The Lord gave me to know during meditation that as long as my heart beats in my breast, I must always strive to spread the kingdom of God on earth. I'm to fight for the glory of my Creator. I know that I will give God the glory He expects of me if I truly, faithfully to cooperate with God's grace. I want to live in the spirit of faith. I accept everything that comes my way as given me by the loving will of God, who sincerely desires my happiness. And so I will accept with submission and gratitude everything that God sends me. I will pay no attention to the voice of nature and to the prompting of self-love. Before each important action, I will stop to consider for a moment what relationship it has to eternal life and what may be the main reason for my undertaking it. Is it for the glory of God, or for the good of my own soul, or for the good of the souls of others? If my heart says yes, then I will not swerve from carrying out the given action, unmindful of either obstacles or sacrifices. I will not be frightened into abandoning my intention. It is enough for me to know that it is pleasing to God. On the other hand, if I learn that the action has nothing in common with what I have mentioned, I will try to elevate it to a loftier sphere by means of a good intention. If I learn that something flows from my self-love, I will cancel it out right from the start. So it's more important to the will of God. If it's the will of God, she does it wholeheartedly. Nothing else but God's will. It's just a little bit of self-love. Simple, but difficult, eh? In case of doubts, I will not act, but will scrupulously seek clarification from priests, in particular from my spiritual director. I will not give explanations on my own behalf when someone reproaches me or criticizes me, unless I am directly asked to bear witness to the truth. With great patience, I will listen when others open their hearts to me, accept their sufferings, give them spiritual comfort, but drown my own sufferings in the most merciful heart of Jesus. I will never leave the depths of my mercy, of His mercy, while bringing the whole world into those depths. So on one hand, she listen as if, you know, but on the other hand, only one mind, one heart with the Lord, nothing else. Many times we are compassionate for when people are suffering, when we enter into the suffering of others. But I think her way is absorb the suffering of others as if part of his suffering, but is not drowning herself into the other person, but always attached to Jesus. She doesn't want to lose herself, because many times you have compassion, love, and so really drowned into the other person as you are not living, and then you live the life of another. But unfortunately, you are not living her will of God. You have your own will of God, that you belong to Jesus. The others have their own way. You can listen, compassionate, give them advice, but not enter into that life. You do not have that grace to leave the cross of others. In a meditation on death, I ask the Lord to design to die, to fill to my heart with those sentiments which I will have at the moment of my death. As through God's grace, I received an interior reply that I had done what was within my power and so could not be at peace. At that moment, such profound gratitude of God was awakened in my soul that I burst into tears of joy like a little child. I prepared to receive Holy Communion next morning as viaticum, and I said prayers of the dying for my own intention. I say it again. In a meditation on death, I asked the Lord to deign to fill my heart with those sentiments which I will have at the moment of my death. And through God's grace, I received an interior reply that I had done what was within my power and so could be at peace. At that moment, such profound gratitude to God was awakened in my soul that I burst into tears of joy like a little child. I prepared to receive Holy Communion next morning as viaticum. That means the last time to receive Holy Communion. Viaticum is a Latin word. It's a journey food. That's the last time of receiving communion. And I said the prayers of dying for my own intention. Then I said, I'd heard the words, as you are united with me in life, so will you be united at the moment of death. So don't just wait the moment of your death, then you say, Lord, I love you. You have to say now. Don't wait until the hour of your death, but when already you are unconscious, you said you can make all the good things at the last moment, but sometimes you lose your conscious, and then after these words, such great trust in God's great mercy was awakened to my soul that even if I had had the sins of the whole world, as well as the sins of all the condemned souls weighing on my conscience, I would not have doubted God's goodness, but without hesitation would have thrown myself into the abyss of the divine mercy, which is always open to us. And with a heart of crushed to dust, I would have cast myself at his feet, abandoning myself totally to his will, holy will, which is mercy itself. So only the mercy of Jesus can give her consolation. All the sins of the world, just one word of sorry to the Lord. Oh my Jesus, life of my soul, my life, my Savior, my sweetest bridegroom, at the same time, my judge, you know that in this last hour of mine, I do not count on any merits of my own, but only on your mercy. Even as of today, I immerse myself totally in the abyss of your mercy, which is always open to every soul. Oh my Jesus, I have only one task to carry out in my lifetime, in death, and throughout eternity, and that is to adore. Your incomprehensible mercy, though mine, either of angel or of man, will ever fathom the mysteries of your mercy, O God. The angels are lost in amazement before the mystery of divine mercy. They cannot comprehend it. Everything that has come from the greatest hand is contained in this inconceivable mystery. That is to say, in the very depths of his tender mercy. When I meditate on this, my spirit swarms and my heart dissolves in joy. O Jesus, it is through your most compassionate heart, as through a crystal, that the rays of divine mercy has come to us. So the whole life, next or now, adore, adoration, in a particular way, adoration, the Blessed Sacrament. February 1st, 1938. Today I'm feeling a little worse physically. But I'm still taking part in the common life, prayers, meals, and recreation. I'm making great efforts. Long to you alone, Jesus. In the refectory today, I do not think I will last until the end of the meal. Every mouthful causes me extreme pain. When Mother Sister Irene visited me a week ago, she said, "You catch every sickness, sister, because your system is so weak. But that is not your fault. In fact, if any other sister had that same sickness, she would certainly be walking around, whereas you, sister, must stay in bed." These words did not hurt me, but it is better not to make such comparisons with very sick persons, because the cup is full enough as it is. Another thing, when sisters visit the sick, they should ask in detail every time, "What is hurting and how does it hurt?" Because it's very tiresome to keep telling each sister the same thing about oneself. And it sometimes happens that one must repeat the same thing over and over many times a day. So very good advice that when we visit the sick, don't ask many repeat questions of the past of the people. They are tired. You just stay with them silently. Not to, "How was the medicine? What is the..." I think they repeat 100 times and get tired. And don't judge. The other sister, Irene, she says, many sick people, they can walk around. But she said, "Yes, yeah, some can walk around, but some cannot." You cannot say to you, "Why don't you walk? She walks, why don't you walk?" She's really... You can imagine all these words. Nobody knows before she died. So this is it's a privacy. But only now today we know. But at that time, if the sister saw this, my goodness, they'll kill her. But anyway, it's a way that Jesus let us know that she encountered the same thing as we encounter every day. You know, sometimes in household work, people tell you, "Why do you still unclean? Still not good, not doing good, that punch at you in your nose." Many times we say, "No, we did our best." So we have the same boat with Sister Faustina in a way, in one way or another. So it's God's grace that we listen to her diary. Just keep yourself, trust it's divine mercy. And remember, life is more important. Through life, adore. Even when you work in the kitchen, adore the divine mercy.